You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Turned it on. Here, what is going on? All right. Chuck's on it. Chuck is our multi-talented, multi-purpose man. Anyway, so good morning again. We have three of our high school grads here today. Megan is up in the balcony with their friend, and then we have Alex and Grant here. So, well, as far as I know, there's going to be some kind of special refreshments downstairs after the service and a little gift, whatever. But please let them know that you're proud of their accomplishment to get through high school. And I'm not sure what their plans are going forward. Maybe they're not sure, but we can talk to them and find out. So come on downstairs after the service. Couple of additional prayers I'll include in our prayer of the church today, requests from members. You have some already listed in the bulletin, but we will be praying for Dave Ashland. We had a shoulder surgery in Vicky Ballore. Her foot is healing, but has now a new pain in her back. So Ralph said, please pray for her. So we'll pray for Vicky and Dave. I want to let you know that my sermon today, I'm following an outline prepared by Benjamin Haupt. He's a professor at the Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And when I mention these people, it's like I want them to have credit because they're helping me, but I also don't want you to blame them for stuff that I'm adding or doing on my own. So if you have a problem with the sermon, by all means, talk to me. And, you know, I'm always. I mean, even if I'm using helps from somebody else, it doesn't mean it's all good or clear. I'm happy to talk about the sermons. A good time to do that is certainly when we're downstairs before our Bible study, but anytime, please. You know, I even, and this gentleman might be watching now, somebody from Rochester, New York, happened upon us on YouTube and had a little interaction online, so you never know. Okay. Oh, I'm carrying this around. You have seen or can see there's a blurb in the bulletin about this new endeavor, Lutheran Institute of Theology. There's a couple of fancy brochures if you want to look into it. There's a website that has more. I encourage you to look into this. It will be launched in July, and we're kind of early members, so we get a discount, but it will be available to all of the members. So you can look more for that. And one more thing, speaking of multi-purpose, Chuck is your representative at the district convention, your lay delegate. We will be leaving for this convention this afternoon, and be there tomorrow. This is where the business of the church happens. So Chuck and I will be over in Rothschild today and tomorrow, for what it's worth. Okay. Well, we're switched to Divine Service Setting 4 for this month. That begins on page 203. But first, we'll begin with our opening hymn, 493, A Hymn of Glory, Let Us Sing.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Amen. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for the seventh Sunday in Easter, of Easter, is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert again and sing together the gradual. The epistle is from Revelation chapter 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Together, we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, who was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes in a play or a movie or a TV show, there's a time where a character steps forward and speaks directly to the audience. You know, the other characters may still be on stage in a play, and the light will shine on this character, or the camera will pan to this individual character, and the message is delivered directly to the audience. And trying to think of an appropriate example, you know, I don't know what the younger people are watching anymore, so I'm going to go with an older one. I know there's some comedy TV shows or movies that there's happened, but I shouldn't be recommending things like The Office or Mel Brooks movies, you know, but if you've seen those, you know what I'm talking about. But Fiddler on the Roof, it's one that, you know, some of us older people, we really love the play, the movie. And so you have Tevye, right? He's the protagonist. And Tevye, he likes to talk, sing to the audience. He is telling the audience his thoughts, you know. He tells about his ideas of tradition, you know, and the role that it plays in his life. So he's speaking to the audience throughout the play, throughout the movie, or even, you know, where he's singing about, if I were a rich man, right, you know, this is his dream. And so he's telling the audience his inner struggles, the inner conflict and between tradition and change and so forth. So it's an effective mechanism, we'll say. So when a character turns to speak directly to the audience, it's inviting the audience to lean in closer to hear this main message of the play, of the movie, of the TV show. And this is called soliloquy. Well, you'd think, well, wouldn't it be great if God stepped up on the front of the stage of our lives and spoke like that, you know, to us? You know, people are often looking for, seeking a direct word from God. You know, maybe some of our high school grads, what do you want me to do, God, with my life? Maybe tips for better relationships or answers. Why did this happen? Bad things happen, and how could I be more successful, and so forth. And we can, and we should, ask our Heavenly Father for everything that we need, including wisdom to make good decisions. But really, God has already spoken many things to us in the Scriptures, so we should be listening, right? We should listen to His Word as we do when we gather here, when we have time of devotion, when we or in Bible study, so that's where God speaks to us. Well, some of the most memorable scenes in a play or a movie they're right before a character dies. They sometimes in that moment they tell key information for the plot of the rest of the show. In the Gospel of John, there's an extended speech. It's a sermon, if you will, that Jesus speaks right before he's betrayed and eventually crucified. On Maundy Thursday, after instituting his supper, before his arrest, Jesus encourages the disciples to love one another. He warns them about the persecution that's to come. He promises them the Holy Spirit and a place he will go to prepare for them. The climax to that sermon comes right at the end, and it's found in our gospel reading today. Jesus has been praying for his disciples, but in verse 20, he steps right to the front of the stage, and he lets us listen in on a prayer directly for us. So let's listen as Jesus' soliloquy asks God for the last five things Jesus wants for us. Jesus asks the Father that we might believe in the apostolic word, the words that the apostles would pass down to us. He's speaking to the Father, but looking right at us. What he's about to do is to save you and me. And he enables the disciples to hear and witness his words, his ministry, and his death and his resurrection so that they can preach and write this down for us. We have these words in our New Testament. We're saved by faith in Christ's words and his holy word, and these holy words that the apostles recorded for us. Jesus asks, secondly, the Father, that we might be one, united in time and in place. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, have this unique relationship of love and unity. And Jesus prays that all of us who believe in him will be one in a similar way. not simply pretending to love, but fully agreed in all things, each honoring the will of the other and of the centuries of those who've gone before us. Third, Jesus asked the Father that the unbelieving world may believe that he came from the Father. Jesus knows not all will believe and be saved, but he prays that his word, through the witness of the apostles, would turn many of the lost to faith. One day, every knee will bow to Jesus. He prays that more of those would be in joyous celebration and fewer in the horror at having rejected him, of being damned. Fourth, Jesus asked the Father that we might be united with him and therefore with the Father. Our unity with one another can happen only when we're first united with him. For his love and truth are the love and the truth that we give each other. That we're united with God happens only when the sin that separates us from him is removed. And sin removed is what happened on the cross. That sin removed by Christ on the cross happens to us by the means of grace, you know, baptism, communion, absolution. That's what happens here at the divine service. This is where God's uniting us with himself and with one another. The fifth, Jesus asked the Father that we might look upon his crucifixion as his most glorious moment. It's not the glory the disciples or we envision. It's not the glory that some mistakenly dream of, like being a rich man or having an easy life. It's not the glory of you know, living for ourselves or being admired by other people. But there's nothing more glorious than God, who made all and owns all, giving his all for us, sinful us. That's the glory of God on the cross, giving it all for us, unworthy sinners. Glory in the cross, sacrificial life and death for others. It's not living for self or glorifying self. Unity is in the cross. This is where we're united, joined with Christ in our baptism, united together, confessing our common faith, and joined in his meal, receiving the fruits of what he has earned for us on the cross and given to us. We're united with Christ and with each other here in the divine service, and people, they see, and they believe because of us. What we say and what we do. Love is in the cross. We're joined in love. We love because we have been loved. We forgive because we have been forgiven. People see this. They see it in us. And they know the Father sent the Son for them. God's people are set apart, made holy, united by his word. And Jesus makes God the Father known to us here in the divine service by his word and sacrament through one another. And we make him known through our words and our deeds as we live out a life of faith in the world. We are different than the world. We're not living for ourselves. We're living for our Lord. And we're living for others. This is markedly different from the world. So people notice, and they know the Father sent the Son to save even them. To know the Father and make him known, that's Jesus' mission. And in his prayer, he makes it ours as well. That was Jesus' grand soliloquy, the prayer he led us over here the night of his betrayal. And he still prays the same prayer for you today. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Lord God, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that he would turn from his evil way and live. Jesus went his own way into perdition. We beg you to call back to yourself those who have strayed from among us and to give us joy to welcome them, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you desire your church on earth to be one. Grant unity in doctrine, in witness, and at your holy table, Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have placed us in communities and families where we are nurtured in the knowledge of your word and in love. May we be faithful teachers of that word to our children and those not yet of the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. King of kings and Lord of lords, the nations rage in this world, but you promise to bring peace through the ministry of your church. By the proclamation of the gospel, grant healing for the ravages of war, grace in place of vengeance, and life in place of death. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you graciously provide us with daily bread to sustain this body and life. Give us joy as we bring the fruits of our labors and the tithes and offerings of a grateful faith. Use these gifts so that the church may not lack for resources to accomplish your purpose, nor the poor suffer need because of our indifference to their plight. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you give us endurance for the race set before us. Grant that we may run the course you have given us in faith. According to your good will, give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, comfort to the grieving, and peace to the dying. We especially remember before you Shirley, Dave, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Dwayne, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Joan, Chuck, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Erno, Jeff, and Ethel. Strengthen them in weakness and grant patience in their trials. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless and guide our district convention that everything done or said there would serve your purpose of bringing salvation to every nation and people. Give all delegates diligence in studying the issues, wisdom in discerning your will, and charity in dealing with others, that every decision they make will honor and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on all who are elected to positions of authority, that they will be enabled to serve with a pure heart, to seek your guidance in all matters, and to carry out their duties faithfully and well. Watch over all who travel to the convention, that they may arrive safely. Protect them from every harm as they labor together and as they return home. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you have instituted and given your sacrament for the faithful to receive the very body and blood of your Son for their forgiveness, life, and salvation. Grant us all pure hearts to receive this gift worthily. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your Son has ascended to heaven and promises to bring his heavenly city to earth in the world to come. Give us such hope in his heavenly city that we spurn the allurements of this world. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated as the offering is gathered. Thank you. Please stand. We continue with the service of the sacrament, beginning on page 208. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death, that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Having revealed your glory in the face of your only begotten Son, who suffered, died, and rose for our salvation, you have exalted him to the highest majesty at your right hand, that he might graciously fill all things. Grant us faithfully to eat and drink this holy supper, trusting our reigning Savior Jesus, who though unseen in his ascended glory, is here present to save by his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.